Hi, I'm Archie Curry.
And I'm Dee Curry.
And you're listening to Word of Hope Christian Church in New Braunfels, Texas.
Well, hi, everyone. I'm Pastor Tim with Word of Hope Christian Church in New Braunfels, Texas. Thanks for joining us today. We are grateful that you're here on this Sunday, November 1st. Today we start a new mini-sermon series, and it's titled, Hearing God. Over the next three Sundays, I'm going to be talking about how fear can undermine our faith, what happens when you have a crisis of faith, and we're going to finish the series by answering the question, who are you listening to? It's going to be a great journey. But if you're not able to join us in person, or you miss any of these sermons, you can always catch up right here on this media platform. Now today, part one of our series begins with the title, Do Not Fear. And the scripture reference is Psalm 46, verses 1 through 11. So open up those Bibles or Bible apps and let's get to reading the Word of God, shall we? Psalm 46, verses 1 through 11. God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. So we will not fear when earthquakes come and mountains crumble into the sea. Let the oceans roar and foam. Let the mountains tremble as the water surges. A river brings joy to the city of our God, the sacred home of the Most High. God dwells in that city. It cannot be destroyed. From the very break of day, God will protect it. The nations are in chaos, and their kingdoms crumble. God's voice thunders, and the earth melts. The Lord of heaven's armies is here among us. The God of Israel is our fortress. Come, see the glorious works of the Lord. See how he brings destruction upon the world. He causes wars to end throughout the earth. He breaks the bow and snaps the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be honored by every nation. I will be honored throughout the world. The Lord of heaven's armies is here among us. The God of Israel is our fortress. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord God, thank you for the privilege we have in Christ to study your word today. I pray that we will just be able to engage this first part of this series in hearing you and talking about this idea of not fearing. I thank you, Father. And Lord, I just pray for all those that have tuned in to listen today. Bless them, Lord, as we all study together in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. Years ago, there was a mother of eight children in Darlington, Maryland. She came home from shopping to find that the house was quieter than usual. As we all know, children, when they're quiet, can be a bad sign. So she looked around in the middle of the living room, and she saw five of her children sitting in a circle, very quiet, and doing something with something. So it seemed innocent enough, so she went into the kitchen and put down her sacks of groceries. Then she walked over to the kids and looked and saw what they were playing with were five of the cutest skunks she'd ever seen. Terrified, she began to scream, "Run, children, run!" So each child grabbed a skunk and ran in five different directions. Now mom is in full-on panic mode, and she screams even louder. This in turn scared the children, and as a result, each one of them squeezed their skunk. Now, I have it on really good authority that skunks don't like to be squeezed, and these skunks were no exception. Now, before the mother came home, the children were playing quietly. There was no danger because they hadn't frightened the skunks yet. But once the mom came home and panicked, life got unpleasant real quick. Now, in our text today, the psalmist is explaining a similar setting. Israel is surrounded by danger. The nation is right in between some of the most powerful nations of the day, and they have enemies on every side. If they gave way to fear now, life could get unpleasant very quickly. You see, if they ever give way to fear, they'd begin to despair, and that would make them weak and become easy prey for their enemies. And so, the focus of Psalm 46 and the title of our message today is Do Not Fear. Go back and look with me at verses 1 and 2a, because it says in those verses, God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. And catch this in verse 2a, so we will not fear when earthquakes come. We will not fear. Would you say that with me? We will not fear. That's good theology. In fact, it's great theology. But there are times when this no fear thing is just hard to do. You know, back in the day of the psalmist, there were lots of things to fear. Things like injury and disease and death and storms and earthquakes, droughts and famines, and of course, the occasional army that would invade the nation. In many ways, we have it way better than they ever did. We have doctors and nurses and hospitals and insurance companies, Medicare, Medicaid, retirement benefits, food stamps, housing for the poor, first responders of many kinds, and we have a very strong military. And I could go on and on and on about the advantages that we have that they didn't back in the day of the psalmist. And yet, fear is still a very powerful thing among us. There are studies that point out that even today, Americans are among the most stressed and fear-ridden people in the world. Why? Because fear is a natural response to the unknown. There are things we can't control, and that makes us afraid. And when life gets hard, when there's dangers, and when there's a threat to our livelihood, or maybe we face disease, maybe we face COVID-19, maybe we're in fear because of this election coming up, maybe we're even afraid of death. Even the most spiritual among us can become afraid. Fear is a reality of life, and all of us have experienced it at some point or another. When fear grabs a hold of us, we can become anxious, we become desperate and powerless, and when fear controls us, our lives can get really, really miserable. But God tells us, don't let that happen. Don't be afraid. He says over and over and over in Scripture, do not be afraid. It's one of the most repeated commands in Scripture. Don't be afraid. Now that sounds great. I mean, it sounds like what we all want to do, right? But how do we not be afraid? How do we deal with fear when it comes knocking at the door? As I looked at this text, it forced me to come face to face with some things that I'm working on in my own thoughts right now. And the first thing that occurred to me is that we need to recognize that what we fear may in fact be very real. There's times when we fear, and it's not some imaginary thing, and I want to encourage you that God knows that. God is not indifferent to what we struggle with. God tells us we will face trials and troubles in our lives. He says, Jesus says in John 16:33, here on earth, you'll have many trials and sorrows. Now, there's an old gospel song. I want you to sing it with me. I'm only going to sing one of the verses, but I think you'll know it. Here it is. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. That's a toe tapper. And it goes on to the refrain of that hymn and three other verses that are just powerful. The song is called This World Is Not My Home. And it's not, folks. This world is not our home. And if we were home with God, we'd be in heaven. There wouldn't be any trouble anymore. Remember what Revelation 21:4 says? It tells us that in heaven, He will wipe away, meaning God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever. And that's what heaven's going to be like. No troubles, no sorrows, no crying, no pain. But in this world, the one that we live in right now, we're going to face troubles just like everybody else. But the difference is for us that we don't have to face these troubles alone. How many times do we wrestle with that? There was a man that told of a time that he was trying to witness to a woman about Christ. She told him that nothing was working in her life at all. Her daughter had been killed, her husband was unfaithful, and she thought she was about to lose her job. And so he asked her, when the world crashes in, to whom do you turn? After a long pause, she said, I guess I just go to myself. Later, she said the one word that most described her was alone. My friends, God says He's not going to let that happen to us. He'll never allow us to be alone. Verse 1 of the text, go back with me. It says, God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. Now, in the book of Deuteronomy, God also said in Deuteronomy 31:6, so be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid and do not panic before them, for the Lord your God will personally go ahead of you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. Have you heard that promise before? Yeah, it's familiar, right? Well, did you know it's in the New Testament too, not just in the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy? In fact, the passage in Deuteronomy is quoted in Hebrews 13:5, which says, for God has said, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. So why would the book of Hebrews quote Deuteronomy's promise? Because the same God who made that promise to Israel makes it to you and I as well. God will never leave his people, beloved. He will never forsake us. And just to drive home that idea, God repeats it twice in our scripture today in verses 7 and 11. Turn with me to verse 7 of our text in Psalm 46. The Lord of heaven's armies is here among us. The God of Israel is our fortress. And then verse 11. The Lord of heaven's armies is here among us. The God of Israel is our fortress. It's the same thing. Clearly, our God will never leave us or forsake us. And when we have that kind of attitude, fear cannot gain a foothold in our lives. There was a man that told about his fiercely independent 84-year-old grandmother who lived alone in the old family home. Her four children lived in the same town, but she rarely called except with emergencies. So when one of her sons got a call from her one morning, he quickly drove over to her home. When he got there, she explained that she had heard noises during the night, and she suspected that there was a burglar in the bedroom closet. "But why didn't you call me last night?" her son said. "Well, it was late and I hated to bother you, so I just nailed the closet door shut and I went to bed." That's the kind of confidence that we can have when we realize that God is with us. We just nail the door shut and let him take care of stuff. God is with us. He'll never forsake us. But wait, there's more. Look at verses 4 and 5 of our text. They are absolutely cool. And here's what they say. A river brings joy to the city of our God, the sacred home of the Most High. God dwells in that city. It cannot be destroyed. From the very break of day, God will protect it. That is so cool. In the midst of troubles and difficulties, God not only tells us he'll be with us, but that he'll give us joy, he'll give us gladness, and he'll refresh us. So what's the river in verse 4? Well, that river is God himself. It's him. You know, back in the days of ancient Israel, when armies tried to capture a city, they tried to surround it and starve out those who were inside. But a city could hold off their enemies as long as they had a source of water. Oftentimes, though, the water would come from wells. But the water in those wells would grow stale after a time and eventually would run dry. Now, when that happened, yeah, the city was in trouble. But if a city had a source of running water, like a river, they could last a long time. And if that water source was pure and sparkling, it not only satisfied their thirst, but it was a joy to drink it. Have you had that experience before? You know, when I was a little boy back in New Jersey, where I grew up, very regularly, my parents would drive to Western Pennsylvania to visit my mom's mom, my grandma's back. And inevitably, during that trip, at some point in time, we would visit my great uncles and aunt who lived in a nearby town. It was a really rural setting, way out in the country. And they had their own artesian well on their property. And I remember the first time I ever tasted a cup of water from that well. It was the most fresh and beautiful tasting water I have ever had in my whole life. It was so refreshing, especially on a hot day, and I have never had a chance to experience water like that since. It was just sparkling and beautiful. And that's what Psalm 46 is telling us about what God supplies to us. God will not only be with us in our troubles, he'll supply us with pleasure and goodness. He'll give us a cool, refreshing drink of joy, even as we go through our sufferings. Now, right in the middle of this psalm, there's an interesting command. Yes, it is a command. Look with me at verse 10. It says, be still and know that I am God. Right in the middle of this psalm. Now, I'm sure we've all heard that before, but check this out. This command has two parts. Let's take a few moments and talk about those, okay? Now, the first part of the command is to what? It's to be still. What does that mean? In other words, it means to be quiet. Don't move. Don't fuss and fidget, because it's hard for God to fix things in our lives when we're always fussing and fidgeting around. You know, when I was a child, I was very prone to getting splinters into my fingers. And when that would happen, I would go to my mom because it hurt. And I trusted her to be able to take it out. Well, she would go get a needle and some tweezers. And then she took my finger in her hands. But the moment she touched that splinter with the tip of that needle, you can guess what I did, right? That's exactly right. I yelled and I pulled my hand back. Why? Because it hurt. Now, my mom would always say, look, you've got to be still. Don't move. I can't help you if we're just going to keep moving around and fussing and fidgeting. Yes, it's going to hurt for a little bit, but it'll be okay. You know, when life gets difficult, when things aren't going the way we want them to, that's just what we do. It is. We fidget and fuss and we refuse to sit still. In fact, sometimes we panic. And the reason we do is because we've forgotten the second part of this command in verse 10. And the second part of that command says, know that I am God. What's God saying there? He's saying, trust me. I am God. I'm going to take care of this. You know, there's a story of an 8-year-old boy. His name was Jeff, and his nephew, and his name was Josh. They were as close as two people could be. They enjoyed being around each other. They'd often play outside together. And one day, they were out playing tag in the backyard, and Josh was running away from Jeff with all of his energy. Josh and Jeff were laughing occasionally as they were running, and Josh would look back over his shoulder at Jeff every so often. But then there was a problem. You see, Josh didn't see the tree that was coming up right in front of him. And when he turned his head forward, he went smack right in the middle of it, hit his face full on, falls to the ground with a thud, and he begins to cry inconsolably. He was bleeding and hurt. So Jeff picks him up and carries him into his house and lays him on his bed. Family members tried to console Josh, but he was not having any of that. And so Jeff had been standing by watching all of that, and a thought occurred to him. So he sat down on the bed next to Josh, and he looked intently into his face, and he said, Josh, look at me. Still whimpering, Josh looked up into his face. Then Jeff asked, do you trust me? A puzzled look came over Josh's face, and Jeff repeated the question, do you trust me? Josh finally nodded his head, yes. Jeff went on to say, Josh, you're going to be okay. Yes, your mouth's bleeding right now, but that's going to stop, and everything's going to be okay. Do you believe me? Again, Josh nodded his head, yes. About 15 minutes later, they were back out in the yard running and playing again. Isn't that how it goes? Now notice, nothing had changed. The boy still ran into a tree. He still suffered a harsh blow, and his mouth still bled. But one thing made the difference. He trusted his friend, and then he focused on that truth, because everything became better. That's what this verse is all about, verse 10. God is asking, do you trust me? Then just be still. If you trust me, be still and know that I am God. Please don't be afraid. Sometimes I'm asked if I ever get afraid, if I ever am worried about things. And I answer yes. I get troubled once in a while. And I even have occasional slumps and emotional lows, just like everybody else. That's been the case lately. And I had to be reminded by my wife and the Lord that there is no reason for me to be afraid. There is absolutely no reason. My problems are not even my problems. And you know why? They're the Lord's problems. I've given them up to Him. They're God's problems because He is God and I am not. Would you say that with me? He is God and I am not. I belong to Him, and He said He would never leave me or forsake me. I had to get that from here in my head down into my heart. So my problems are His problems, and He will get me through them. I needed to be reminded of that. It's almost a daily thing now, but I need to be reminded of that. So I'm passing this on to you today, because maybe you need to be reminded of that as well. When we're faced with issues we can't control, we just need to focus on God and remember what He's done for us in the past. And folks, you don't have to remember it here. Look in the Word. It's already written there for us. If you remember that and you know the chapter and verse, great. But if you don't, seek His confirmation out. Seek His assurance out in the Word. You can start right here with Psalm 46. A key scripture passage that's really helpful to me when I get bummed out is Philippians 4:4. And it says, always be full of joy in the Lord. I say again, rejoice. And the rest of that passage goes on to tell us to focus on the good things that God's given us. And when we do that, here's what it says in verse 7. Then we will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Amen. Come on, say that with me. Amen. But then I know you're probably thinking, oh, but God, you don't. I have been there and done that. And I've just, as I said, gone through this recently. Beloved, hold on to Jesus and trust His word. Give it to Him and then move forward. Let me close with a story about a woman named Gladys Allward. Gladys was a British-born evangelical Christian missionary to China who oversaw an orphanage for Chinese children. But during the early days of World War II, Japanese army personnel began to invade the area and she was forced to flee for her life. So with only her assistant to help, Gladys led more than 100 orphaned children over the mountains to freedom. Have you ever noticed how much food a child can eat? Well, Gladys had 100 of them to care for, and they didn't have any supplies when they left. The enormity of her responsibility was hard on Gladys, and she began to struggle with despair. At one point, after passing a sleepless night, she faced the morning with the belief that they had no hope of ever reaching safety. Just then, one of the 14-year-old girls in the group reminded her of their much-loved story of Moses and the Israelites crossing the Red Sea. Sadly, Gladys said, "But I'm not Moses." The little girl said, "Of course you're not, but Jehovah is still God." To that I say amen. Here's the deal. I'm not Moses. You aren't either. And you're not Esther or Daniel or Shadrach, Meshach, or Abednego or any of the other great heroes or heroines of the Old Testament. But they serve the same God. And that's the message for us today. We serve the same God. They weren't any different than we are today. Their only advantage was that when life got hard, when life became overwhelming, they looked to God because God had promised to never leave them. That's the promise we have. I don't know where you are today. Maybe you have something in your life that is just big. Maybe it's not so big, but it's still something. Do you think that God's not listening? Do you think that God doesn't care? He does, beloved. And He says in His word, as we've studied today, I will never leave you or forsake you, which means He's right there with you. The question is, are we willing to really let it go and let God have it? Doesn't mean you're going to stop thinking about it. Doesn't mean occasionally you're going to want to take it back. But we have to rely on the word to be true, that God is who He is, and He says what He says, and He'll do what He says He'll do. Now, if you're not a Christian, you don't have that promise. But that can change today, right here, and right now. Do you want to know Jesus as your Savior? This isn't some cult thing. This is not some religion thing. This is a relationship thing. Do you want to know Jesus? Do you want to have that hope that we've talked about today? Then you can. And it starts with believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. It's about turning away from the sinful part of your life, the bad things that you may be thinking, doing, or combination thereof, and choosing to walk in the opposite direction toward God. It's about confessing Him as Lord, turning over all things to Him in your life, not necessarily in a physical sense, although it might be, but just surrendering and then being baptized, being immersed under the water for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive, as Acts 2:38 says, the Holy Spirit. That's how you can start today, folks, and I hope you will. If you're out there and you're not sure what else to do, let me know, and I'll be happy to tell you. Because today can be the first day of the rest of your life. I pray that you'll do that today. And for those of you that have already done that, I pray for God's strength. I pray for you to tap into that hope. If you're struggling, you have despair, fear not, because he is with you and he will never abandon you. Not today, not tomorrow, not ever. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for another encouraging message from God's Word. To find out more about our ministry, look us up on the web at www.whccnb.org. Word of Hope Christian Church, real people, a real God, real hope.